brothers and sisters in our Lord Jesus Christ. We wish to consider by way of exhortation the example of one that has gone before us, from which we can receive a lot of encouragement but also that of warning for our own day. It is the example of the prophet Jeremiah. It was one that led a very sad and lonely and bitterly disappointing life. He was a wonderful man. He had 40 frustrating years of ministry, spanning that of 5 kings of Judah. During the most calamitous and shocking years of Judah's history. Years which saw an ever-increasing downward slide of implacable rock-like hearts that were given to violence and treachery. If ever there was a man who seems to have been entirely unsuited, naturally speaking, to the task that God had given him, it would be this man. He seems too sensitive, too timid, too shy and tender. He was very affectionate. He was a tender-hearted man. But he was pitted against the most hateful and aggressive of people. He was shy and he was a nervous man, but he had to face the derision and curses of his own fellows. He seemed too gentle and trustful to counter their violence and their secret treachery. But the fact remains, brothers and sisters, that Yahweh did choose him, and he was just the right man for the purpose that God chose him. And for over 40 years he rebuked relentlessly, with relentless severity. And not just once did he withstand their treachery and their endeavours to get rid of him, but many times he never ever stopped. His timidity and retiring nature, seen right from the very beginning of this man's ministry in the service of God. In chapter 1 of Jeremiah and verse 4, Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 4, "Then the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee, and I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, Our Lord Yahweh, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. And he saw his youth, and he saw his weakness before his God and the purpose that he had called him. That boy would shrivel up and die before what he knew was to face him. He was probably about 18 years of age. Now look at what God says that he was to do in verse 7. But Yahweh said unto me, Say not that I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith Yahweh. And so he's given this stern command, don't be afraid of their faces, I am with thee to deliver thee, saith Yahweh. And the same exhortation was given him in verse 19, And they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith Yahweh, to deliver thee. And you see, brothers and sisters, he is told, be not afraid, because I am with thee. And so it is with us, brothers and sisters. Words here that are spoken of many of the faithful of old, of Isaac, of Jacob, of Moses, of Joshua, I am with thee, and a number of others. And so the Apostle Paul says in Hebrews 13 to us, that I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. He is with us in our battles against the oppositions that this world may offer, and even, unfortunately at times, our own brothers and sisters. Be not afraid. In verse 15, chapter 15 rather, Jeremiah was once again encouraged with the same exhortation, and so often are we encouraged in those same things. Verse 20, Jeremiah 15, verse 20, and I will make thee unto this people a fenced brazen wall, and they shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee to save thee and to deliver thee, saith Yahweh. Notice he doesn't say that he was going to stop their persecutions, but that he would deliver him so that they would not prevail. So he had to lead this very sensitive, timid man, a young boy at this stage. He was going to have to endure all sorts of deprivations and all sorts of hardships and persecution. God wasn't going to stop those things, but God would be with him, and he would deliver him that they would not prevail against him. And so also with us, brothers and sisters. God has not promised us an easy road to the kingdom. He has promised much tribulation it is that we must endure to enter the kingdom of God. And so has been the history of ecclesial life, not only in modern times, but through the Bible. We see that life in the ecclesia is certainly one of probation and trials and troubles, and it is through such things that we enter into the kingdom. Well, this prophet was one who was rejected by almost all. In chapter 12 of Jeremiah and verse 6, he's even rejected by his own brethren, the priests at Anathoth. Jeremiah 12 and verse 6, for even thy brethren and the house of thy father, even they have dealt treacherously with thee, yea, they have called a multitude after thee. Don't believe them, he says, though they speak fair words unto thee. Look, even your own brethren, Jeremiah, the priests of Anathoth, they're against thee. Don't listen to their smooth talk. Or they may say that they're with you. Continue in the work of Yahweh. He says, they're really dealing treacherously behind your back. And so chapter 11 and verse 21, it says there, therefore thus saith Yahweh of the men of Anathoth that seek thy life, saying, prophesy not in the name of Yahweh, that thou die not by our hand. His own brethren, eventually, they come to the point. And of course, the chapters of Jeremiah are out of order. It's not chronologically correct, so we will be moving backwards and forwards in the book. It's not in order. But here they were, his own brethren, priests of God, and they wanted him dead. You see, this one shared the experience of Christ, of whom it was said in Psalm 69 and verse 8, I am become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. Well, not only was he rejected by his own kin, this very lonely man led a life of solitude and was against almost every man. And he wasn't even allowed, brothers and sisters, the comfort of a wife. In Jeremiah chapter 16, and verse 1, the word of Yahweh came also unto me, saying, Thou shalt not take thee a wife, neither shalt thou have sons or daughters in this place. So here was a man whose heart was so fitted for love, and to whom a home would have been such a welcome, an encouragement, a refuge, and children would have been so dear to this man. If we look into the life and the feelings that this man had for his own people and their families, he would have loved dearly to have had children, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of Yahweh, his God. But he was deprived even of that. Why? Because he had to feel the message that he was given. And it became such, brothers and sisters, in the end, that he was not to have anything to do with ecclesial and family and social life at all. You see, in verse 8 of this chapter, Thou shalt not also go into the house of feasting to sit with them, to eat and to drink. The house of feasting, the fraternal gatherings. So he was to be kept away from those things. Why? Because he had to feel the message. Had to know how Yahweh felt. And he had to know how the people would feel. In verse 5, For thus saith Yahweh, Enter not into the house of mourning, neither go to the lament, nor bemoan them. You see, all the aspects of social life were taken away from this man. And he did feel his message, brothers and sisters. You see, he was one that truly felt the feelings of the people and the feelings of his God. In chapter 15 and verse 10, listen to these words. Woe is me, my mother, that thou hast borne me a man of strife and a man of contention to the whole earth. I have neither lent on usury, nor men have lent to me on usury, yet every one of them doth curse me. You see the feelings behind this man. He regrets even being born. Woe is me, my mother. Here is the despair of this man. I haven't done anything that's wrong. I haven't done anything against any man, and yet the whole earth it curses me. Verse 15. O Yahweh, thou knowest, remember me and visit me, and revenge me of my persecutors. Take me not away in thy long suffering. Know that for thy sake I have suffered rebuke. You see, he felt and he suffered the message that he delivered. For thy sake I have suffered rebuke. So that the very words that he spoke from God, the message from God, he was identified with. And he willingly did so, because they were of his God. But it meant that he had to suffer because of the message of God, the word of God. Verse 17, I sat not in the assembly of the mockers, nor rejoiced. I sat alone because of thy hand, for thou hast filled me with indignation. Why is my pain perpetual, and my wound incurable, which refuseth to be healed? Wilt thou be altogether unto me as a liar, and as waters that fail? Ah, you see, brothers and sisters, he was derided of the people, because so often his message was one of cursing, and that Yahweh would do these things against them, that he would bring punishment upon them. And they say, well, where is it happening? So that Jeremiah was mocked, and God seemed to be as one who was a liar. Jeremiah was appeared to be as a liar because of God's message. You see, he stood for his God, and he spoke the word of God, but they didn't believe it because it didn't appear to happen at that stage. and for his faithfulness to God and his word, he was derided. Well, it got to the stage that Jeremiah didn't want to speak any more. In chapter 20, Jeremiah 20, and in verse 7, O Yahweh, thou hast deceived me, and I was deceived. Thou art stronger than I, and hast prevailed. I am in derision daily. Everyone mocks me. For since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of Yahweh was a reproach unto me, and a derision daily. Then I said, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. You see, brothers and sisters, he came to the point that, what is the use? They won't listen to this. I just keep being, as in verse 10, he says, for I heard, and here's the reason why he felt like this, he says, for I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Report, say they, and we'll report it. You tell, and we'll tell on you. All my familiars watched for my halting, saying, peradventure he will be enticed, and we will prevail against him, and we will take our revenge on him. Oh, they were out to get him. Every step that he took, they were watching. You say anything, and we'll tell on you. And look at your life. And they were watching every step that he took. If he halted, if he fell in any way, they would report it, and they'd have him. He was a priest, you see. And isn't it true, brothers and sisters, of those that stand for the things of truth, those that endeavour to do the things that we've been asked, to walk according to righteousness, to live according to the way that Christ has asked of us, that we apply the principles of the truth in our lives, merely that, the good things of the truth, a person that's endeavouring to show kindness and assistance to those that are in need, those that labour in the truth, those that will not hear the words spoken against another brother or sister, but go directly to them, applying all of these principles. You watch, it's true, isn't it? Those people are the first to be pulled down as soon as they make a slip. It's an unfortunate thing of human nature, as Jeremiah certainly found in his life. Well, brothers and sisters, he lived a very long ministry. It began in the times of Josiah. He was called during the reign of that young king, and no doubt he found in that young king a friend. It appears to be that way. And yet, brothers and sisters, in the great reforms and the excitement of the things of the truth during the time of reform, unfortunately, many people go along with the excitement of those things, but they are not touched in the heart. People love to live behind banners and stand behind others that are supposedly strong in the truth, or behind an ideal of some sort. And that's exactly what happened in Josiah's time. Oh, this is wonderful. This is the truth. And they were going along to all the festivals and celebrating and keeping all the aspects of the ceremonial parts of the law. But in their hearts, they were harbouring and keeping all their idols. So that Jeremiah had to speak against them, even in the times of Josiah. And at Josiah's untimely death, it was obviously a great blow to Jeremiah's. It's recorded in 2 Chronicles in chapter 35. Sorry, 2 Chronicles 35 and verse 25. And Jeremiah lamented for Josiah, and all the singing men and the singing women spake of Josiah and their lamentations to this day, and made them an ordinance in Israel. And behold, they are written in the Lamentations. And the very fact that Jeremiah's name there is recorded, that Jeremiah lamented for Josiah. And oh, we can imagine the lamentations of Jeremiah in that time. He would have felt that keenly. We know that he felt his message keenly. He felt all things very, very keenly. No doubt, brothers and sisters, he felt the loss of Josiah. And in actual fact, brothers and sisters, Josiah's death spelt the end of a peaceful ministry for Jeremiah. Jehoiakim's reign began, and things turned greatly against Jeremiah. The hot-headed nationalists, the proud, arrogant opportunists, the evil, conniving politicians were all there, and even in the priesthood at that time, they rose up against Jeremiah. Early on in Jehoiakim's reign, Jeremiah stood up against them and told them exactly where they stood before their God, as we read in Jeremiah 26. Jeremiah 26 and verse 1. In the beginning of the reign of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, came this word from Yahweh, saying, Thus saith Yahweh, Stand in the court of Yahweh's house, and speak unto all the cities of Judah, which come to worship in Yahweh's house, all the words that I command thee to speak unto them, diminish not a word. If so be they will hearken, and turn every man from his evil way, that I may repent me of the evil which I purpose to do unto them, because of the evils of their doing. And thou shalt say unto them, Thus saith Yahweh, If you will not hearken to me, to walk in my law, which I have set before you, to hearken to the words of my servants the prophets, whom I have sent unto you, both rising up early and sending them, but you have not hearkened, then I will make this house like Shiloh, and will make this city a curse to all the nations of the earth. And so you can imagine Jeremiah entering the temple courtyard. He was a priest. And standing there as all the peoples come around from the various towns around Israel. And they come up to worship in their hypocritical worship. And Jeremiah stands there. Thus saith Yahweh. And he delivers this message from Yahweh. Hearken to the words of Yahweh. If you will, he will repent of doing what he's going to do. But if not, I will make this house like Shiloh and will make this city a curse to all nations of the earth. Verse 7. So the priests and the prophets and all the people heard Jeremiah speaking these words in the house of Yahweh. Now it came to pass when Jeremiah had made an end of speaking all that Yahweh commanded him to speak unto all the people, that the priests and the prophets and all the people took him, saying, You shall surely die. And they couldn't take the message. Why hast thou prophesied in the name of Yahweh, saying, This house shall be like Shiloh, and this city shall be desolate, without an inhabitant? And all the people were gathered against Jeremiah in the house of Yahweh. And they mob him. And they want to put him to death. And then in verse 10, the princes of Judah heard these things. And they come up from the king's house into the house of Yahweh. And they sat down in the entry of the new gate of Yahweh's house. And they form a court. And the priests and the prophets and the people charge him. And so Jeremiah answers in verse 12. Then spake Jeremiah unto all the princes and to all the people, saying, Yahweh sent me to prophesy against this house and against this city all the words that you have heard. Therefore, now amend your ways. You see, he's very sincere. He's saying, look, Yahweh did tell me this. Now therefore amend your ways and your doings and obey the voice of Yahweh your God. And Yahweh will repent of him, the evil that he's pronounced against you. That's all we've got to do. And a sincere appeal is rejected. But in verse 24, nevertheless the hand of Ahikam the son of Shaphan was with Jeremiah, that they should not give him unto the hand of the people to be put him to death. Notice who it is, brothers and sisters. It's the people, that they were headed, as it is earlier said, by the priests and the prophets. The priests and the prophets. Now who were they? Well, it was the people, the general people. They didn't like to hear these words. Who were over them? Well, it was their teachers, the prophets and the priests. They were the teachers, the religious leaders. And in fact, in Jeremiah 20, you've got Pasha, who was a priest, who smites Jeremiah. In verse 1, now Pasha, the son of Immer, the priest, who was also chief governor in the house of Yahweh, heard that Jeremiah prophesied these things. Then Pasha smote Jeremiah the prophet and put him in the stocks that were in the high gate of Benjamin, which was by the house of Yahweh. It came to pass that on the morrow that Pasha brought forth Jeremiah out of the stocks. Then said Jeremiah to him, and he pronounces a curse upon Pasha from Yahweh. You see the way in which they dealt with him. These were the leaders of the people. And they rejected the sincere word spoken by a very sincere, passionate and loving man who loved his people and dearly wanted them to listen. You know, it got so bad, brothers and sisters, that eventually Jeremiah was told not to pray for that people. You see, he had been praying. As we've mentioned, he sincerely and dearly loved that people and he desperately wanted them to change. In Jeremiah 7, we are told here that he was not to pray for them. Verse 16, therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up nor cry nor lift up cry nor prayer for them, neither make intercession to me, for I will not hear. You see, he had been interceding, and what better man than one who spoke on behalf of that people, who felt for that people, and who also loved his God. He was a true intercessor and mediator. And he prayed. And he prayed more than once. He needed to be told more than once, stop praying for this people, Jeremiah. They are no longer people that I can accept. In chapter 11 and verse 14. Perhaps verse 11, therefore thus saith Yahweh, behold, I will bring evil upon them, which they shall not be able to escape. And though they shall cry unto me, I will not hearken to them. And verse 14, therefore pray not thou for this people, neither lift up a cry or prayer for them, for I will not hear them in the time that they cry unto me for their trouble. Once again, Jeremiah is being told, stop praying for them. And he keeps on praying. And you see, we hear one of it, or read one of his prayers in chapter 14. And look at this heartfelt prayer, brothers and sisters, the sincerity of this man and his love for a people that God considered to be worthless, to be cut off. And look at the spirit of this young man. Perhaps he was getting a little older now. He had a long ministry. But, however, verse 19. Hast thou utterly rejected Judah? Hath thy soul loathed Zion, says Jeremiah? Why hast thou smitten us, and there is no healing for us? We looked for peace, and there is no good, and for a time of healing, and behold, trouble. We acknowledge, O Yahweh, our wickedness. Oh, look at this spirit of mediation here, brothers and sisters. We acknowledge, O Yahweh, our wickedness and the iniquity of our fathers, for we have sinned against thee. Do not abhor us for thy name's sake. Where did he get that from? That's from Moses. Do not disgrace the throne of thy glory. Remember, break not thy covenant with us. That's Moses through and through. The spirit of Moses. It's the spirit of Samuel. Are there many among the vanities of the Gentiles that can cause rain? Or can the heavens give showers? Art not thou he, O Yahweh, our Elohim? Therefore we will wait upon thee, for thou hast made all these things. And here is the desperate cry of Jeremiah, that Yahweh may repent of what punishments he was going to bring upon them. But in verse 11, God had said, Then said Yahweh unto me, Pray not for this people, for their good. When they fast, I will not hear their cry, and when they offer burnt offering and an oblation, I will not accept them, but I will consume them with the sword, and by the famine, and by the pestilence. Jeremiah protests, verse 13, Then said I, Our Lord Yahweh, behold, it's the prophets. They say unto them, You shall not see the sword, neither shall ye have famine, but I will give you assured peace in this place. And so Yahweh condemns the prophets. He says, Look, it's not their fault. It's these prophets, these false prophets. But it was still no good. Chapter 15 and verse 1, Then said Yahweh unto me, Though Moses and Samuel stood before me, yet my mind could not be toward this people. Cast them out of my sight and let them go forth. The reason, verse 6, Thou hast forsaken me, saith Yahweh. Thou art gone backward. Therefore will I stretch out my hand against thee and destroy thee. I am weary with repenting. There was no further opportunity for this people, despite the passionate pleas of Jeremiah. Well, brothers and sisters, time and time again, Jeremiah had warned these people. The incredible thing is that Jeremiah was proved correct. In all the prophecies that he had uttered against them, that God would bring down that city, and they wouldn't believe. Jehoiakim was made a vassal when Nebuchadnezzar invaded and took captives in the time of Daniel, when Daniel was taken off. But they rebelled. And they didn't take the advice of Jeremiah. There was a second attack that cost Jehoiakim his life and a burial as an ass. Still the people didn't learn their lesson. And then there was Jehoiakim. He only lasted 3 months. He was carted off into captivity and all the skilled tradesmen were taken off. Once again, Jeremiah was proved right. And still the people thought that they could pull out of their troubles without listening to the message of Jeremiah. You see, the temple was still standing. And then Nebuchadnezzar put Zedekiah on the throne. And you know, he was in fact the least prepared to hear Jeremiah. This weak, spineless, heartless king was so influenced by his counselors that Jeremiah suffered the most during his reign. He was put down in this cistern. An old man now. An old man. So that when they had those that went to pull him out, they had to put cloths under his arms because he was an old, fragile man. And yet Jeremiah continued his courageous and his troublous ministry. And eventually, the whole city was sacked. And you know, Jeremiah cried through the lamentations, I am the man that has seen affliction by the rod of his wrath. And he felt that message. Even in Lamentations, we find Jeremiah speaking as if he was the city. You see, he felt like the people. And he speaks the words of Yahweh. He speaks his own words. He was a man of tremendous feeling. And at that time, brothers and sisters, as he watched all those people being marched out with hooks in their noses, naked, marching off into foreign lands, the captain of the guard comes to him and says, this is of Yahweh. What you have prophesied has come to pass. We know that it's of Yahweh. Look, his own people didn't acknowledge that. And he was a Gentile acknowledging it. This was from Yahweh, your God. As you prophesied, so it's happened. They could see it. And so he tells Jeremiah, look, if you like, you can come with us to Babylon. He gave him food and presents. But if you like, you can remain. And he stayed. And he stayed with Gedaliah. Perhaps now they'll listen. But the people come to him and say, look, could you pray for us? Can you pray just this once? What does Yahweh want us to do? If he wants us to stay here, we'll stay. If he wants us to go, we'll go. We'll do whatever Yahweh says. And Jeremiah at last thinks, at last they're listening. He is truly a humble spirit. And he prays. And in a few days' time, he receives the message. And he tells the people, this isn't the word of Yahweh. We'll not do what you say. And they carted him off down into Egypt, the very place that Yahweh said they were not to go, the very place that Yahweh said he would destroy them. And you know, we hear no more of Jeremiah. There is only one thing, brothers and sisters, that we know, and that's in Jeremiah 32 regarding this very faithful man. When he was in prison, he was told by God, in verse 6, Jeremiah said, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, behold, Hanameel the son of Shallum, thine uncle, shall come unto thee, saying, buy thee my field that is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is thine to buy it. It's interesting that Hanameel means, Ael shall have pity. Shallum means recompense, and Anathoth means answer to prayer. And you see, Jeremiah had been praying, and Yahweh provided him some encouragement in that prison. Ael shall have pity, he will recompense. And he tells him, buy that field, Jeremiah. Buy that field. Verse 24 says that the Chaldeans were already in that land, they were already sieging, and the word of Yahweh was such that he would take them away out of that land. Buy that field. Oh, it goes on, brothers and sisters, to say, one day in this chapter, in chapter 32, I will gather them out of the countries, verse 37, whither I have driven them in mine anger and in my fury and in my great wrath. I will bring them again into this place. I will cause them to dwell safely, and they shall be my people, and I will be their God. Verse 43, and the fields shall be bought in this land, whereof you say it is desolate, without man or beast, it is given into the hand of the Chaldeans. They shall be bought again. And Jeremiah, who it appears lost his life down in Egypt at the hands of those people who rejected time and time again, so relentlessly rejected God's word, he one day will stand again to receive those title deeds to that land. Do you know where it is? It's in the Holy Oblation. In fact, it's in the portion of the sons of Zadok. And he will be there amongst the sons of Zadok, the sons of righteousness. Brothers and sisters, week by week, we are reminded of the sacrifice of one who came to save us. And week by week we are exhorted from the Word of God. Jeremiah had told them and told them and told them, and they would not listen. Instead they beat him, they slandered, they humiliated, they incarcerated him into the foulest of prisons. He beat his head against a brick wall, brothers and sisters. For 40 long years, they rejected him, despite the fact that relentlessly God was showing them that this is true, what he's saying is right, and they still wouldn't listen. Are we any different? Here we have the passion of our God toward us, his love for us. He was prepared to put his son to death for us, that we might have life. One who, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross and the shame of his probation. How many times do we need to be warned not to make gods of our jobs, of our hobbies, of our homes, of materialism, time-wasting things that get in the road of a life that would help us live the truth? How many times are we told not to sacrifice our children upon the altars of convenience and worldly pursuits? How many times are we told and warned against the dangers of mechanical attendance at meetings? These are all messages from Jeremiah. How many times have we been warned against half-hearted attitude towards ecclesial activities? And warned against false prophets? Warned against alliance with Egypt or the world? Let us not be as those, the condemned and rejected Jeremiah, who was indeed a wonderful type of our Lord Jesus Christ, whom we remember at this time.